gentlemen, buckle up. We're going 3-1.
If Harvick's able to clear the one of Jamie McMurray and a caution comes out, he'll be back on the lead lap.
Rick, join us as we break down the latest news stories and race events from the three biggest divisions in motorsports.
Into the wall, then into the two. The two goes around. The caution's going to come out.
The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Will Joey Logano repeat?
A drag race, they're sideways, and it's going to be Logano getting the win.
Or will someone else take claim on being the next champion? It's time for the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
Ladies and gentlemen, y'all know what time it is. The 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast back on the airwaves one more time. Eddie Greer III, a.k.a. EG3, home of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast here in Manhattan, Kansas. The final day of September. Welcome into this post-playoff reaction edition of the podcast, 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, all about the latest in the world of NASCAR motorsports. Gander Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of NASCAR. Of course, all divisions are in playoff mode and coming off kind of an odd race like yesterday in the Cup Series. The Roval is in the books. We are now the field started at 16, Big D, and now we're down to 12. Welcome in here, Big D, to the podcast once again. Doesn't say nothing, as usual. I have him keep his mouth shut because I know he's going to go off on something. The producer of this podcast checks in here in the EG3 garage here in another humid day in Manhattan, Kansas. Fall can't get here soon enough. Yes, I like my hot weather. Grew up down south, but yes, it's time for some sweater weather here in Manhattan. We're going to get that here towards the end of the week. Of course, recording this on a Monday, the final day of September. And yes, we're back to normal after a wild week and a half here, at least for me at least. But October is going to get busy once again. Obviously, we're still trying to figure out if I'm going to be able to go to Kansas Speedway here towards the end of the month as well. So there's a lot going on. Obviously, these are the two busiest months of the year, at least for me. September and now it's going to be in the books after midnight. And October here, right around the corner. Obviously, playoff baseball. Braves are getting pumped up, getting ready to face the St. Louis Cardinals. More on that toward the end of this podcast. Obviously, the Big 12 recap. K-State loses their first game of the 2019 campaign. Also, the first loss in the climbing era. I'll talk about that towards the back end of the show. There's lots to get to here. Really, almost a jam-packed edition of the show. Let's just dive on in and just a quick synopsis here of the Xfinity Series race where A.J. Allmendinger finally strikes gold on a road course this year for colleague racing. Of course, Allmendinger, we've seen him a couple of times in this series, and we've seen him finish in the top three, but be DQ'd because something did not pass post-tech. But finally, Allmendinger cashes in on a talent. The road course ace cashes in on what was a wild race. Now, I only saw bits and pieces of this race. I tell you up front, was not fully engaged in this. Obviously, football. I love my football. Saturdays is what time to get it. And also, we had something to do that day. I can't remember off the top of my head what that was, so excuse me for not remembering. But anyways, AJ Allmendinger, though, did go home and watch clips here and there, and I know, read up on a few articles what's going on. So Allmendinger, though, got the notification on my phone, obviously, the AJ Allmendinger winner of the Xfinity race here, spoiling the party for the Xfinity Series race as they go to their first elimination race here coming up this weekend at the Monster Mile here. And I had it on the big screen here. If we switch it back here in the garage, there we go. So, AJ Allmendinger obviously pumped up. One of my favorite things here was AJ. Obviously, he works for NBC For those of you who don't know, Almendinger fully retired from the sport, but he every now and then he'll hop in one of these cars, sports cars or whatever, to do these fantastic road course races. And obviously we know the background of Almendinger, very talented, gives Rutledge Wood, lifts him up in the air, how big that dude is, Rutledge is, and picks him up, puts him back down. He was pumped up after the race was over, and Tyler Reddick had his opportunity in the final restart there to overtake Almendinger. There, couldn't do it, did not have the strength to pull that, or his car did not have the strength to pull that off. Obviously, the restarts, you know, Almendinger was victim. Talked about this last week's podcast, that Almendinger fell victim to the final restart on Noah Gregson there. Cost him an opportunity to probably win up there at Road America, also battling C-Bell towards the end of that race up there. So, stage has been set in the Xfinity Series. We're going to take a look at the playoff drivers and where they finished at. Almendinger stealing the show. I wouldn't call this an upset. We all know how AJ is very talented on his road courses, but Reddick, obviously, just talked about him moments ago there, leading the way for the playoff drivers here. Second runner-up, Austin Cindric there, impressive all year long on these road courses. Obviously has a road course background. For those of you first-timers here on this podcast, Cindric started third, ended third. Justin Allgaier finished fourth. Noah Gregson, another impressive performance. Noah Gregson has been probably, if not all the attention on the big three in the Xfinity Series. Let's not, I've said this all year long, this wild card spot is who's going to be that fourth driver to step up and possibly challenge these guys. I'm not going to say he's the challenger just yet, but this cat has been putting down top 10 here and there ever since the second half of the year started. Gregson, could he be that guy? He finished in the fifth spot. John Hunter Nemechek, huge afternoon for him, finished seventh. Cole Custer back there finishing the eighth spot. Chase Briscoe had an opportunity. He and Christopher Bell had an issue late in this race. Briscoe starting the pole. And of course, he was the defending winner of this race 1 year ago. And was looking good for most of this race until he and C. Bell had contact on the backstretch there. Briscoe fell to ninth there. And speaking of C. Bell, he finished outside the top 10 in a 12th position there. Michael Annette, disappointing 15th place finish. Brandon Jones, he's gonna have to put his work gloves on this upcoming weekend. He's gonna transfer to the next round. 16th. That is not going to cut it whatsoever. I believe we covered it all. The playoff drivers here in a 3-wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. All right, late boys and girls. Now the good stuff. Over to the standings of where it stands right now. So obviously, Bell has already his ticket from Richmond 2 weeks ago. Cole Custer, a huge mark, 71 back. And then you get to Tyler Reddick, 71 forward. Custer clinches a spot in the next round there. Reddick, he's pretty much going to be spot on as well. So is Austin Cindric. Justin Allgaier is pretty good shape as well here. Chase Briscoe, 35 from the cut line. Noah Gregson, 26. And I might have spoke too soon about Brandon Jones. Annette's bad finish, 15th. Only 11 spots to the good of JGR's Brandon Jones heading in to the Monster Mile on Saturday afternoon. The first elimination race in these playoffs for the Xfinity Series. Woo! It is going to be good. And actually, John Hunter Nemechek's strong top 10 finish ties Jones. So this battle here, and no offense to Ryan Sieg and Justin Haley, who are plus 30 back from Annette here. So they might not, it's going to take a miraculous miracle on their parts here to even make it. The focus is going to be 8, 9, and 10 here. Obviously, 8 being the final transfer spot to move on to the round of 8 in the Xfinity Series. Oh boy, John Nemechek, pretty solid. If he can put a whole race together here, he can make things really interesting. Obviously, the future unknown in this 23 car in the Xfinity Series for GMS. Obviously, there have been a lot of talks about shutting this thing down. Goes back to a couple weeks ago with this whole thing here. Brandon Jones obviously has been kind of a really disappointing career. Can he make something happen here and to steal that last spot here from the number one GM Motorsports car, Michael Annett? So things are going to get interesting here. The battle for that last transfer spot is on this Saturday at Dover, the 50th anniversary of that racetrack. Come to a close this weekend. Use your Millen Driver Sober 200 going down 2 o'clock here in the local. Now, I might have gave the wrong time impression here, but we're going to roll with it here. 2 o'clock, unless everything changes here, NBCSN, MRN has coverage on the radio of that, and the fight is going to be for that 8th spot now. We've seen some weird things happen in these situations here. And I just talked about Noah Gregson and Chase Briscoe there. They're not safe. So anything weird happens to them, they could be in danger of missing the next round. So who knows what's going to happen there. So Xfinity Series locked and loaded, ready to roll in a Monster Mile. Miles is going to be waiting for them in Delaware. This is the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3 playoff reaction from the Roval, and we're going to get into some of that right now. Really, mainly, possibly, really, talking about the drivers who got eliminated. And also, obviously, we'll talk the winner as well, obviously, who, the winner said over the radio stuff, how in the world did I do that? And then somehow got the caution he needed, that being Chase Elliott, your winner of this Roval race, the Bank of America Roval 400. Elliott, you know, while we're on him for a minute, ladies and gentlemen, I'll talk to him right for a second, you know, spoke to the media, Chase did, was it last Friday, and he talked about Martin Truex Jr. being, or he was asked about Martin Truex Jr. and his dominance on road courses here as of late, and he gave props to him. Well, you know what, Chase, Chase Elliott probably sold himself a little bit too short. Chase Elliott obviously dominated the Roval. Not the Roval. Well, obviously he had a rocket of a car, so he might as well dominate Dover. He dominated Watkins Glen, as I wanted to say there. He ate him up, he and Truex there, with Chase Elliott winning there. So that's two straight road course races winners in a row for Chase Elliott. And he's probably making himself known to be that guy, to be the that guy. But he's one of the top two, really. Truex, he had issues in the final practice there with missing a shift there, a couple of shifts there, and having to go back to the rear field. He had an adventurous day back there, and then he got back to the top 10 and stayed there and was in contention there, but the three-peat, the Truex triple, was not going to happen. And yeah, especially when you're starting to back, and when you're starting to back at a technical racetrack like the Roval, yeah, you're going to have some issues there. And he uncharacteristically in the first half, missing the back chicane, not once but twice, but Truex still ends the first round. Well, he had already two wins in a row in this round, going for the Truex triple there. Couldn't do it there, coming up short, faded late, but still finished 7th or 8th. We'll get to that here as we move along tonight on this post-race edition of the podcast. But these two guys right now, doesn't take away the fact that these guys right now, Chase Elliott, the Dawsonville siren going off, it probably still is going off, Elliott, Truex Jr., these guys right now, top of the class, Chase Elliott joining Truex, not only beating him, but beating him twice this year. So, you know, Chase, you know, should give himself a lot of credit, man, the dude. And on top of that, he's going into a round where he won two of these races a year ago, one at Dover last year in these playoffs, and then came back when we were at Kansas last year, saw him overtake Kevin Harvick like he did on the high side lap yesterday. He did the same thing, ran down Kevin Harvick at Kansas a year ago, passed him, and Harvick had that mistake on pit road. Elliott went on to seal the deal at Kansas last year. So huge momentum for really Elliott, but this whole Hendrick Horner organization right now. Yes, Jimmy Johnson not in the playoffs, but Jimmy Johnson showed tons of speed in that 48 over the weekend here. But the story here, Henrik Morris, and we'll get, I'll touch on base here as we move along here, but Alex Bowman, and we might as well just stay on the Henrik bandwagon here while we're on it. Alex Bowman, man, did he come out with a house of fire. I got Alex Bowman not put up with any more crap. Pretty much, he tells it like it is, and I don't know what this dog is doing out here. Sorry for the squirrel moment here. I don't know what this dog is doing over here, making a lot of noise like it usually is. Our next door neighbors are pretty tight, pretty cool over here, but making a lot of noise over here. So just making sure that he doesn't come over here while we're recording this podcast. He don't need to be over here right now. So get him out of here. But back to Bowman here, real quick. Bowman, he had a statement weekend, you want to put it. Comes out of the media, obviously, talked about last week. Bowman had the comment of these playoffs so far with the Silverstone quote on Austin Dillon. Austin Dillon, they're spinning Bowman out last week at Richmond. Yesterday, actually on Friday, comes out, sticks with his comment, gives no you-know-whats about Austin Dillon. And then, he too had issues early in the race. Somehow, I look up back, we had some internet issues yesterday, so we were in and out of this race, trying to follow on social media. That's what we did most of our following. Going out, internet in and out, trying to figure out what in the hell is going on in this race. Because we had some odd situation here, especially with NASCAR calling these cautions. Woo, I'm going to have some more on that on the second half as well. So exciting segment two coming up on the show. But here, in this instance, Bowman, 40th at one point, almost about to go a lap down, and fights his way back, was feeling somewhat 10 minutes into this race. All of a sudden, he falls sick. And then, and I'm going to touch on base on this too. I wasn't cool with this move, but he already not making friends with these non-playoff drivers. Gets in the Bubba Wallace, turns him completely around, intentionally brings out the caution, and then these two, this wasn't over. Bubba, you know, I'm going to touch on this as well. I'm going to save it. Bubba, you know, Bubba, if he's pissed off, yeah, he's gonna let you know about it, and he definitely did. And this thing has been all over Twitter, and it's still going on right now. So Bubba definitely in the hot seat there for a little bit there. But Bowman roughing feathers with Dillon and now with Bubba Wallace. So how is that going to factor in this round? And Alex Bowman, I had this guy out this round, fights his way back, and he has a lot of momentum. And remember the same stretch going back to the spring where this dude finished second in at these tracks, Dover, Talladega, where Chase Elliott won Talladega, okay? And then Kansas, where he should have probably won this race at Kansas. We saw it. Our buddy, good buddy, we're sitting next to, big Alex Bowman fan, was kind of irate a little bit, but he was happy though. But Alex Bowman should have won Kansas early this year, not for the mistake of letting Keselowski go on the high side. So, if anything, right now, and then you throw in the fact that William Byron starting the pole again, this dude, a pole mini machine, fifth of the year. I thought it would be more than that for this guy. You know, William Byron's fast on pole day. Chad Knaus did a hell of a job with the calls of the 24 car. Six for Byron and Henrik Motorsports, for what it is, struggling all year long. Probably for the fact we've seen him in spurts throughout the year. Probably just like last year with Chase Elliott leading the train here. Chase Elliott, you know he's going to get the victory lane for the extended, but all of a sudden now, Bowman or has a win at Chicagoland. Byron looking to fire in a win here. Now you have 300 more sports cars into the round of 12, Big D. And oh boy, and Alex Bowman gave Truex fits at Dover earlier this year before Truex ran away with the thing in the second half of the race. But Bowman was fast at Dover early this year. So was William Byron. obviously, I talked about Chase Elliott, about his win last year over Denny Hamlin there, muscling Denny Hamlin, matter of fact, there. Elliott staying out on old tires. Denny Hamlin could not pass him. Obviously, we talked about the history there. A year ago at this time with these two drivers, Hamlin and Elliott. So, Hendrick Motorsports right now, you might as well say the ball is in their court right now. Yes, JGR has three cars going in the next round also. But this thing, I looked at this field, goodness gracious. I can't say there's a weak spot in the round 12. I really not when you should look at the thing. So, it's going to come, this is going to be, you can't make a mistake. That's bottom line. And it goes back to me saying this. I know you guys hearing me are tired of hearing me, but this is critical. I told you, somehow Bowman rallied, but Bowman was in striking distance. Two back coming into this race. So, he had an opportunity, and he cashed in on it. Byron was in going in this race, and he was absolutely stellar in this race. So, Hendrick Motorsports having three cars in the next round, well, they came in these playoffs with three, stay with three, hitting a round of 12, and, you know, what it is, I'm telling you, man, Hendrick Motorsports, if they get the ship rolling here, look out. I gotta say, for what it is, I mean, Bowman, you know, they've been struggling, and yeah, because, yeah, you want to be out, predicted you want to be out in the first round, because struggling. I mean, they couldn't find a dollar on the racetrack. So, for that, Alex Bowman's determinedness, I give him credit for that. I mean, his determinedness, his will, against that 88 team, Greg Ives and that team, one miraculous drive from possibly being out of his playoffs in the 40th position to second. Like, what the hell happened? Where did this dude come from? So, boom, no, not taking anything away from him, but damn, that was one hell of a drive there. And then the other guy, not Hendrick Motorsports, switching gears over to Kevin Harvick, already had enough points to make a pass to the next round. Clint Bowyer, I talked about in the podcast last week. He needed to do what he needed to do at Indy, the transfer here at the Roval, and that's exactly what happened here. Bowyer had a fantastic afternoon, scored the most stage points out of anybody who needed to transfer, probably really, throughout the whole entire race, really. 16 playoff points, oh yeah, not playoff points, 16 stage points. There, oh yeah, that's going to carry a lot of weight there. Clint Bowyer finishing the fourth spot and backed up his starting position to the fifth spot. Started fifth, finished fourth, Clint Bowyer. And now you got some good tracks for him as well. Dover, and not mention him going home here in a couple weeks to KC, where he's going to be making some home cooking there. And Talladega, he's a decent plate track driver as well. So Talladega is a second wild card in this, so you know you cannot be caught up in the big one, and you gotta start off right again. This field is too close to call right now. I can't even make, and I'm not going to make prediction who's the next four out. I have to figure this one out. So hard enough to believe here, Bowyer. Well, not hard to believe. Bowyer, I had Bowyer already going into the next round anyway, so he joins Kevin Harvick. Harvick was in position to win this race, got passed by Elliott there. A strong move on the high side on Kevin Harvick. Chase did, and Chase Elliott led 35 laps en route to heartburn, possible heartburn, to the win at the Roval Big D. Wow, Harvick ended up finishing in third spot. And Stuart Haas carries two cars over to the next round. So before we take our intermission, we're going to stop right here with our playoff rewind here on the playoff drivers here. We're going to get to the elimination guys here when we come back from the intermission. Before we go to the intermission break here, obviously at EG3_FastEddie is my Twitter handle, at EG3_FastEddie. And, of course, you can find the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 wherever you find, get your podcast from, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, AutoBeam, Stitcher, and more. Obviously, please leave us, before we continue on, please leave us a 5-star rating. And if you want, it'll be more than helpful, though, for us. A review of this podcast definitely will help us out tremendously. As these playoffs continue, you do not want to miss a moment of the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG316. We are down to 12-week return to the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Y'all know what it is. We will continue the recap, and obviously we'll get down to obviously the biggest news story, which was Bubba and Alex Bowman there. And I talked about a little bit the winner. We're going to run down the rest of these playoff drivers and talk about elimination. And of course, on the side, we'll talk a little bit about baseball as well. 3-Wide NASCAR podcast EG3 rolls on after these messages.
This is a quick pit stop. The 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Welcome back to the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, Eddie Gray III, aka EG3, host of the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Yesterday, Chase Elliott from possible heartburn, to the victory in the Bank of America Roval 400 at Charlotte in the final race of the round of 16. Obviously, transfers into the next round, which begins at Dover on Sunday afternoon. In Delaware, he leads the triple threat 400 more sports. Bowman, Alex Bowman transferring, William Byron transferring over to the next run as well. Let's continue this playoff recap with the drivers that participated in this race. Obviously, JGR had a quiet afternoon, led by Martin Truex Jr., who I mentioned in segment one in the first half of the show, starting in the back of the field. If it wasn't for that, this could have been a different race possibly, but Truex had his adventures early, but still, top 10s in all three playoff races to this point, 7th on the board here. Denny Hamlin back there, finishing in a 19th spot. Off day for Denny Hamlin and that team. There and then Kyle Busch out of this race with a suspension issue. There, Kyle Busch, 37th, and then he said afterwards, there after that issue, I'm just gonna stand back here and just chill. That's what his facial expression looked like, anyways. There and Alice race, I'm gonna watch the rest of the race from the pits. Kyle Busch, there still the number one seed. As we switch to 16-12, obviously the regular season champ there, 37th the Roval, ouch, there, and now We talked about Stuart Haas already, covered JGR, hit it more sports, and last but not least, one Ganassi car is left in this battle in the playoffs. That in the person of Kyle Larson, who at one point was in the top 10 through the first half of the race, but a penalty, too many men fixing that race car off of pit road there, and it was a long way back for the 42 team there. 13th finish for Kyle Larson in this one there. And we covered the round of 12 drivers there, pretty much there, through this podcast. And now we're finally getting to the elimination part of it there. Eric Jones, who'll be talking about him being one of those guys eliminated from this race. And man, mistakes cost this team in this first round. Gained in another first playoff race wreck there, and then having a solid effort at Richmond last week, which put him in position originally, but then take away the issue in post-tech there, couldn't pass it, and that pretty much was the room of doom right there for the 20 car of Eric Jones. And some, I think it was Steve Letarte that talked about last week of, you know, how's this team chemistry now after a possible opportunity missed for the 20 team there. Obviously, Chris Gale, the crew chief of this team there, you know, all your three teammates are moving on. You had, and Eric Jones had some momentum. You know, you win the, one of the biggest crown jewels of NASCAR, Southern 500, over Kyle Busch there. You would think you had some momentum there, but too many issues. And that's, this is a prime example of it. And I would not be surprised to see one of the, I mean, round of 12, we could see it. One of the big name drivers who don't expect have issues. That's something to keep an eye on here in this round. I said it in segment one. This is too close to call now with the emergence again of Henry Motorsports led by Elliott. It is too close to call. This field is just too many mistakes. You can't make too many mistakes. Not even one, really, at that. So you have to be on top of your game in these playoffs for the rest of the way. You're going to stay in it. You got to be top of your game. That's just bottom line here. Fortunately, Eric Jones, dead last, ain't moving on to the next round. Also, where was Kurt Busch in this round? This was my dark horse in here, and I believe it was somebody who spoke. I just listened. I believe it was earlier in the teardown that I listened to early today. I think Jordan Bianchi talked with the crew chief of that number one car, Matt McCall, there, saying this was their worst race stretch of the year. You cannot have that. You cannot have that if you're going to, especially in the field. I'm sorry I'm referring back to it, but again, looking at the round of 12 drivers left in this, there's no weak spot in here. And Big D just pointed out, I have not mentioned the Penske drivers yet, so I will cut it here with Kurt Busch, and we're going back to the other two drivers here who got eliminated. But Kurt Busch finished in the 20th position there. Didn't even finish 19th. Kurt finished 20th. And yeah, they had nothing. I mean, Kurt Busch there, issue, tire issues at Las Vegas, nowhere to be found at Richmond, and a non-factor here. I thought Kurt Busch, with the experience, not only experience, ladies and gentlemen, but his record on road course, so he's going to be competitive. He was not competitive at the Roval in a story there. So I told you guys, to be most of the guys, I had everybody covered. I did not. Thank you, Big D. Penske drivers, all three of them will transfer as well. Keselowski made some noise early on as well. Brad Keselowski finished in the fifth spot there. And then Ryan Blaney. Again, we had internet issues throughout the race there. Streaming issues throughout the race. That seemed to be the theme for all weekend here in Manhattan, Kansas. Streaming issues. So we were in and out. And when at one point, Ryan Blaney, late in this race, was 15 out from eighth spot. This deal was going. The defending winner of last year's race there was going to go home, but he won't have none of that. And he, too, tagged the wall. And I thought that was going to be the icing the cake on him for sure. But again, heart, you drive a lot of heart, a lot of pride for your team to stay in these playoffs. That's what Alex Bowman did. That's what Ryan Blaney did as well. Blaney you can make a case for being a good road course racer. Blaney finishing in the 8th spot. And Joey Logano had a quiet afternoon. Yes, he finished in the 10th spot there. So Logano's going to have to pick things up. Yes, he's a defending champion. We all know that. But here we go. Everything's tightened up here as we go on Dover. So Joey Logano finishing the 10th spot. So Penske, 3 cars. JGR, 3 cars. Hendrick Motorsports, 3 cars. That's 9, if my math's correct, obviously. 2 cars from Stutthaus Racing. And then, lo and behold, Kyle Larson hanging around in here representing Ganassi Racing. He doesn't have a win yet. Still, does not have a win yet. And I think this goes back to last year. Did Kyle Larson get the victory last year? I don't think he did. So, Larson's still hanging around here. So, he in Dover, is one of his better tracks, Kyle Larson. So, look out here, folks. Ford is 42. So, this is the last year, again, that Homestead is going to be the championship race. And everybody says, including here on this podcast, Kyle Larson is going to be an optional threat. Ford is packet, but with this 2019 packets that we've dealt with all year long, you know, I wouldn't put it past them just yet, but we'll see what happens. And again, you don't get off to a good start here, you're putting yourself in a big time hole, especially with front runners like JGR having all those points. And yes, those points carry in. Those don't get thrown out. You keep those. You win the postseason like Chase Elliott did yesterday, like Mark Trish has done in these playoffs. You get to keep those throughout these rounds. So those of you who don't know, no situation or new to the podcast, that's what's happening right now in these playoffs. You're in the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. We are moving and grooving here. Now back, finishing off the eliminated drivers here from this round here. Eric Amarola strategy there, trying to stay out late, cost him. And this team was in position all race long to make it. He and Newman both were in position to make things happen and yet transfer on to the next round. Did not have for Eric Amarola, and Eric Amarola had, this team had no speed coming in these playoffs anyways. And 14th wasn't going to cut it for him and staying out late there. Klaus Meyer, the crew chief for Amarola there, making the call there, made your bed, you gotta sleep in it, and cost him at the end. And then Ryan Newman, the mistake of the year. And I'll have more on this on my new segment coming up on the show here. Stay tuned for that. Obviously, in the end of the show, I have EG3 helmet stickers to come. That's coming up. Okay, so Newman there missing the chicane. He was in position there to make it to the next round. He came in here with plus 10 margin. Plus 10. You would think that, well, obviously, it's not, none of that cushion is not safe, but you have a great opportunity to move on, right? But Bowman's epic run from possibly 40th to second there, and then Newman was in position, and then missing the chicane there at the end of the race, and then not obeying NASCAR's orders there, not listening there, cost him. I mean, it's what it is. You can't tell me that, you know, I'm zero accurate. I'm not accurate enough. I'm gonna lead into that big deal. I'm getting there, but you can't sit there and tell me that. I mean, he made a mistake. You can't. That's plain and simple. You can't make mistakes. You're in a prime position, and we saw this all day long. People miss, especially early. Truex, Hemric, Mr. Bash came there. Can't do that. No matter how talented you're, like a Truex or even like somebody like getting work in. And there was a problem early in the race, and a couple guys had to come to a complete stop. Newman did not do that. He was in a great position late to maybe capitalize and didn't do it. Bowman does, with an effort for the ages to this point for Alex Bowman. But Newman makes a critical mistake late and then doesn't listen to NASCAR on top of that. So he's lucky didn't finish where he was in the first place anyways, with Big D can find him on this list here. Big D, ouch, 32nd place for Ryan Newman there. And yeah, that pretty much was the end of his doing there. But he had a hell of an effort, though. But still, though, the effort was there for Newman. He put that sixth team on his back. There's no question about it. And probably the reason that Stenhouse got fired from that 17 ride there. Newman making any adjustments, telling the car, telling the crew chief what he needs in that race car. And Stenhouse not getting the job done in that 17 ride. So that's probably most of it, most of why Stenhouse out of that ride. So, hey, I'm just telling what it is. I mean, Newman from really mid-summer on has been absolutely phenomenal. But mistakes, you gotta fall. Hey, you just can't make mistakes, man. Late in the fourth quarter, right? You gotta finish strong. Fortunately for Newman, he is out of playoffs. So now, Ryan Newman eliminated. Eric Almirola eliminated. Kurt Busch, I thought I was going to move on. He's eliminated. Eric Jones, I thought he was going to move on. Eliminated. We're going to see the same thing in round, especially in round 12. All the star-studded drivers in this round. Whew. Grab the pony up, boys. EG33Y continues, rolls on there. That's pretty much a look at the playoff drivers. Four drivers aren't in playoffs anymore. Six car, 10 car, the 20, and the 1. And we have 12 left in these playoffs. And the playoffs resume with the round of 12 at Dover. Here, coming up here, so we're switching over to the title real quick. The Dry Denneen. I might have butchered that. But anyway, the Dry Denneen 400 this Sunday. NBCSN has doubleheader coverage here this weekend. MRN over the radio. If you guys cannot be able to catch it, the racing this weekend up there, MRN will have you guys covered as well. Switching to the standings real quick here. It resets now. And with the gap now shrinking there for Kyle Busch there, Martin Truex Jr. only 5 back with those playoff points earned at Las Vegas and Richmond, a.k.a. wins on the board. Hamlin, Logano, Kevin Harvick, Chase Elliott earning some more plot points there. He's 19 above the cut line, current cut line now. He's tied with Keselowski. And then get back here to crowded spot. Kyle Larson right now. Whew, this is going to be the action spot. You know it. Kyle Larson plus 1 going into this round over Alex Bowman in that 88 car. That pesky 88 car, and we'll get to Bowman and Bubba here in just a moment. Ryan Blaney, William Byron, Clint Bowyer. Group is separated by 6 points going into the opener of the round of 12. The fireworks are going to be loaded and ready to rumble at the Marshall Mile. I cannot wait for this thing to unfold. All right, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, moving gears. Ben Cobbin prepping it up all night long. Thank you for tuning in to the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3 Healy guys here on this playoff reaction from Rolo. And this was the first elimination race of these playoffs. Alex Bowman, I talked about in the first half of this podcast, messing around with these non-playoff drivers in the latest the latest Bubba Wallace. I talked about intentionally turning him. This was uncalled for. I mean, yes, Bubba, I can't back you up on what you did there yesterday with throwing the water and everything else. Jeff Gordon apparently was there congratulating Alex Bowman there. Medical staff was attending Alex Bowman there, feeling ill there, a little sick there throughout most of the race there. So Bowman, with the heart, with the effort there of the ages, as I talked about it, mentioned moments ago there, and Bubba after the race, pissed off, goes over there, has words with him, and this has been all over social media for the last really 24 hours, and won't be surprised, hop on here, see some more replays of it on my Twitter feed, but Big D, you've been seeing it, I told you about it, Bubba's splashing water. It's not Gatorade Jeff Cluck, by the way, aka it was not, I mean, you've seen the video, it's not Gatorade, it's water, but anyway, splash the water, Everybody was not happy with Bubba Wallace there. And I'm disappointed in Bubba as well. I haven't shown it on Twitter, obviously, but I was disappointed. for sure, and for that, so I will be monitoring this situation as we progress. But Bowman, he, you know, back to him real quick. You know, he can't be messing around. You know, obviously he's not happy with the plow drivers, non plow drivers, Austin and Bubba. He's got beef with them, clearly, obviously. But here, you're playing with fire. I mean, you've moved on. Great effort yesterday, whatnot. Hey, now it's time to move on. This is probably your best stretch right here. Best opportunity, maybe a golden opportunity to really make some noise, put yourself on the map, and somehow get to the semifinals of the playoffs. You can't be messing around with these drivers. I mean, now you have four out on Marola that they're potentially could give you a run for your money also. So, yeah, I mean, listening to Terry now, yeah, I mean, Jordan Bianchi is saying, yeah, they're not going to have an issue, but... I mean, it's going to come time and place. I mean, yeah, you know, Dover, we're going to a short track at Dover that, you know, hard to pass. Everybody, and going back to spring, you know, everybody complaining, hard to pass. I can't pass nobody. Hey, you mean Dylan? I mean, if he has a decent race car now, he's going to race you hard. I mean, Bubba, yeah, you know, he made a mistake. But again, you mean, he holds true to his word now. We've seen it. You know, the passion that Bubba has in him driving that team and whatnot. So, I'll put this as a factor. I mean, hands down, dude, you're not racing the just the 11 playoff drivers left. You're racing everybody else. So, you're at the mercy of somebody else. It's probably screwing up your chance and go up next round. So, Alex Bowman, for the effort that he gave yesterday, that's a hell of an effort. I'm going to give you that. I'll give you that much. But, hey... You got to focus on trying to get your team possibly in the semifinals. You got a great opportunity here. And based on what the stretch, I mentioned this at the top of this podcast here tonight on the Throughout NASCAR podcast, you can't screw around and make enemies here. And here, get the 3 car in the 43. Oh, by the way, 2 iconic numbers. Imagine that. And the 88's iconic number, 2 for Dale Jr. So, I mean, for all it's worth, you know, hey, I mean, you did what you had to do to get to the next round, which you did fantastically. Now you got to turn your head, your focus, to these next 3 rounds. So definitely going to keep an eye on this 88 here as the round 12 begins. So definitely Bowman, he better mind P's and Q's here as we get into this next round. That's all I have to say on that situation. Tie a bow on that, Big D. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast here with EG3. Kind of switching gears now to wrapping up the worst case scenario, the worst news in all NASCAR, the worst news, the 95 Christopher Bell. Jason Ratcliffe will move up with Christopher Bell. Jason Ratcliffe, no stranger to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. The last time he was up here was with Matt Kenseth. And this pairing will be back, will be up in the Cup Series next year. That's something to look for. And Mike Wheeler stays with Levine Family Racing in a director's role as well. So, and on top of that, Levine Family Racing is going to get beefed up with more support from Joey Gish Racing. So, if I'm Matty Benedetta, I'm pissed. Matty D, I'm a little pissed at that as well. So, I mean, getting not updated cars and whatnot. Getting the old-ass cars from JGR. And still, though, almost having a chance to get to the playoffs, but didn't do it. So, but anyway, though, on that front there, so I'm Matty D. I'm pissed I didn't get top-flight equipment from Joey Gibbs. These things are a little dicey. That's all. A little dicey there. That's all I'm going to say there. But, yeah, so they're going to be up to the support there, especially for homegrown Christopher Bell there. And that would be interesting to see what happens there. Obviously, Reddick is the next worst-case scenario here. The possibly move up to the Cup Series there, which leaves Cole Custer there with a possibility as well. So, again, there could be an upcoming podcast about those three guys in the upcoming future here on a 3-Out NASCAR podcast. So, better be out on the lookout for that. And a non-finishing driver there, leading the non-finishing drivers here real quick here. If I look here, yeah, it's Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson, the non-playoff driver, wrapped up a great weekend and reversely so there. The ally, Chevy, the 48, coming home in the ninth position right there. So, switching gears, now we're going putting our car through the sucker hole now with baseball. All right, so mainly the Braves, and we're finally back to a routine because, yeah, I was going to record on Thursday, coming home, as soon as I get off work, coming home, playing having that TV on, the Braves game. Braves open with St. Louis now. Before we hopped on to record this podcast, okay, so we're recording this on Monday, so we will know for sure on Thursday what time we're playing. But, of course, this is based on NL Wild Card, which is going down tomorrow between the Red Hot Nationals home against the Milwaukee Brewers, the Washington Nationals. For those of you who don't know baseball that well, all right, so Scherzer on the mound, for all I know, for the Nationals. That was announced last night. So, if Nationals win, I believe, at least here Central Time, the game will start at 4 Central Time. I knew this was going to happen. These games will be in the, at least our series will be in the dang daytime, with the number one seed being the Dodgers being in nighttime, blah, 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 blah. But the 2 seed, Braves in the National League, get the day slot. Either way here, 4 o'clock, and if the Brewers win, it'll be an hour later than that. So, you talk about this earlier, I wish for a later start, but hey, I mean, it is what it is. I'm not going to miss much of it. Be back home and plenty of time to see the rest of it. I'm very excited and anxious here to get it going here, and I expect the Braves, you know, whoever the opponent was, to move through the division series. I'll be disappointed for sure if they don't get past the division series this year. Last year, you know, it was a little early, maybe a year early than we expected to get to the playoffs. And now this year, you know, you have a little experience taste in your mouth. Acuna, Albies, and these guys. So, interesting to see. Yeah, speaking of Ronald, yeah, he'll be back in there for sure. A lot of reports saying he is going to be back. Rested up, should be rearing to go, and excited to have our guy back in top of the lineup. But going against the Cardinals and look at the postseason predictions, and yes, a lot, pretty much all everybody picking Astros to win it. But there are some writers picking Astros and Cardinals to be the World Series matchup there. So yeah, you know, the Cardinals, they are known for making things happen in the playoff, in the postseason, that's for sure. And I'll give those guys that, but I mean, a lot of people did not expect us to win the division. None of them did not give us a chance to win the division. Probably 95% of baseball predicted media out there didn't give us a chance to win out there. Hey, that's okay as well, because everybody gave Nationals, the Phillies, well, mainly the Phillies, really, with their acquisitions of Bryce Harper and JT and all those guys. Where are the Phillies at right now? They're at home. We're still playing. So, and even now, they're still playing as well. But we're pretty fortunate that we wrapped the division, because the Nationals, they continue to ratchet up wins after wins. So, we dodged a bullet there in not playing this wild card game, which anything can happen in these wild cards. No matter how hot you are, you'd be going home tomorrow night. So, and Brewers, they have fought their way back from possible elimination in these playoffs. Now you get a chance to go into wild card system, wild card mode. Anything can happen. So, and they're going out there without their best player. What for sure could have been the MVP, Christian Yelich, there. Broke his kneecap, unfortunate for him, for that situation there. But somehow the Brewers found a way to get hot at the right time. So these are really two clubs in this wild card match tomorrow night that are hot. And again, it goes back to what I've been saying all night long about, you know, Bowman, the squad in his round 12, top to bottom, really no weakness. You can't make a mistake. you come up lame or short or not come out to play, no matter how hot you are, you're done. That's pretty much bottom line and secret right there. So, based on what's going to happen there, we'll see what happens, where the time slot falls for our game, Braves and the Cardinals game 1. on Thursday. Of course, we're playing Friday as well, and there's a day off on Saturday. K-State, Chris Klieman, boys lost. We were ranked 24th in the country heading into the weekend, and offense didn't do dilly squat, at least in this game anyways. The defense, though, I give defense a lot of credit for keeping us in the ball game there. A loss to Oklahoma State in Stillwater here, where we're going to pull this up now here. OSU 26, K-State 13, Oklahoma routed Texas Tech 55-16, TCU all over our rivals, if you want to call it, KU 51-14, and Baylor rallied to hang on Iowa State 23-21. I want to share real quick one of the three. Okay, so this new segment here, and this is going to be a sneak peek. I'm going to keep the rest of them, but here, three wide. Here, if you want to pull up, I'm going to stick it with this guy that called me out while making my lucky dog lap down picks on Lap Traffic. Shout out, Lap Traffic Nation. Brandon Crow. Alright, so three wide. Alright, so now you don't want to be in the sucker hole, right? So usually, you see this in Talladega and whatnot, you do not want to be three wide. So this is what this segment's all about, right? Before we wrap up with the... Where did I have it at? I'm going to have to go to the Lap Traffic page real quick. Dang it. So, all right. So, basically, bottom line is, I already said it. So, the CJ Cat character who called me out on Twitter saying, all right, you can't make up this. I mean, you're super accurate about Ryan Newman, right? All right. So, there it is right there. So, there you go. Thanks. So, all right. CJ, this at CJ underscore Merck, M-I-R-K 6. Obviously, looked at his profile, big Newman fan. Obviously, was pissed off, but here he said, quote, not accurate, not even 1%. He was already screwed, so the rules were a moot point, and Suarez was a byproduct of mass confusion with officiating. All right, so I made a comment about Newman saying that I put Newman a lap down because he ticked another guy off. Last time we're at Charlotte, he and Clinton Boyer, well, it was more like Clinton Boyer, throwing down blows on the window shield of Newman. So Suarez was pissed off at Newman. So, CJ, for one, you're dead wrong about that. And number two, Newman clearly blew an opportunity to go. He had a chance. Ain't blew it. That's bottom line. I'm going to put you three wide for the week. I mean, you can't say it's not accurate because it is. I mean, Newman had an opportunity, didn't do it. And then the boot, I don't know what happened between Suarez and Newman for what Suarez getting fired up about. But apparently, there's a clip. Suarez not happy with Newman. I watched it. I saw it. So, you're wrong on that part. So, yeah. So, CJ, I'm sorry that your driver didn't make it to next round, but hey, I mean, you had a shot, and hey, bottom line, Big D, CJ, he ain't get done. Close the book on that. E23 helmet stickers for the week before we wrap this thing up. Well, I'm fired up. That got me fired up. All right, E23 helmet stickers to close out the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast playoff reaction here. To wrap up the night here, I gotta check. We gotta go in, check in this long here. I bet it's close to being done. Chase Elliott, Clint Boyer, William Byron, A.G. Almaneer, Noah Gregson, and Alex LeBay. LeBay finishing in a top 10, a strong top 10 for Alex LeBay in the Xfinity Series race over the weekend at the Roval. And Big D's nominee, honorable mention, went to Alex Bowman. Why not? It's been an Alex Bowman field show here tonight on the EG3 podcast. So, EG3 helmet stickers of the week: LeBay, Gregson, Almendinger, Boyer, Byron, Chase Elliott, Alex Bowman. Your EG3 3-Wide helmet stickers of the week. Round of 12 is almost upon us. That is going to wrap things up. Big D, y'all know what to do. Let's break this thing down. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wrap for another edition of 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Y'all know what it is. That's right. Thank you guys for tuning in to this playoff reaction edition of the podcast. The round of 16 is in the books. Big D, I appreciate you for what you've been doing all year long. As usual, I want to thank you guys for listening all around the U.S. and some of you guys overseas as well to the 3Y NASCAR podcast. Remember, please spread the word about the 3Y NASCAR podcast to your friends. Tell your friends about it. You do not want to miss a moment. The Monster Mile is waiting for us. The round 12 is about to begin here. Eddie Greer III signing out. Talk to you next time on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Congratulations to Chase Elliott, AJ Allmendinger, winners at the Roval. We out.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3Wide.